Welcome to the School of the Word. This is Lesson 27 in our teaching on the Book of Revelation titled, Revelation, the Final Chapter. Our teacher today is Alan Smith.
Dear Jesus, we love you and we thank you for today. And we do ask and pray, oh God, that you'd give us revelation of your Spirit and of your truth and of your way. Dear Heavenly Father, we do ask and pray that you'd send your Holy Spirit to be with us and give us revelation. Give us understanding. We thank you, O God, for who you are. We thank you that you've given us your Son, Jesus, to bring us revelation of eternal life and a life with you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, Revelation. We're going to start off today in chapter 21. And this is the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture, be a lot of symbols here, and but we're going to do two chapters today. Second chapter is it's just self-explanatory. So in chapter 22, so we'll begin here with the new heavens and the new earth, chapter 21, and in this chapter, it starts off like this: "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Now, what does that mean? Let's look at it. The first verse suggests that the New Jerusalem is to be the capital of the whole new universe. It's, as you can see there, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Excuse me. I think I've begun a cold here, so. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth." New heavens, we like to concentrate on new earth, but the new heavens is talking about the whole universe. So we see not only is earth going to be changed, but also new heavens. And it says here that the first verse suggests that the new Jerusalem is to be the capital of the whole new universe. That's amazing to me. Now, Book of Revelation, very symbolic. We've got, it's like a three-ring circus. You've got these different symbols and reality going on side by side. Now, watch this one. Old man and new man. Parallel, comparison. Old earth, new earth. Old man, new man. So we see in Genesis chapter 1, God was in a building program. But we also see not only was he in a building program, he had put man on the face of the earth. Man fell. Then the earth failed. So we see here that when Jesus comes into our life and we are born again, our born again experience is the beginning of the redemption of the old earth and the new earth. Can you see that? So, old man, new man is the same parallel as the old earth and the new earth. So, 2 Corinthians, Paul says it like this: "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." A lot of people say, well, Alan, is God going to destroy the earth and the universe and build it back? No. When you were born again, you were made new. But it's still you. God did not destroy you and make the new you. Same way with the heavens and the earth. No, he'll not destroy the earth and the universe. It'll just be born again. The whole cosmos, everything God's created since of the fall, he's redeeming. Okay. "For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no longer." I went over that last week a little bit about the oceans or salt water. The salt water is what keeps the earth purified. Everything ends up in the ocean sooner or later. And there the salt purifies it, keeps it healthy. There will be no need for salt water in the new heavens and the new earth. Just a thought. Second Peter said, "Oh, that destruction like this. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. That's what Peter said in 2 Peter about this. Now, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I want you to keep in mind there again, old heaven, new heaven, old earth, new earth, old man, new man. Now, here, the false comes before the real. The great whore in Babylon. Here we see this new city comes, and the bride. We had the false come before the real. We had the great whore in the city, Babylon. Can you see the comparisons? So Satan is always duplicating the real before of the false before the real. And here we can see it here. Do you see the parallels in the book of Revelation, what it's speaking about? So here we see we have the great whore and Babylon. If you'll notice, any cities today have that fallen nature to them. But yet mankind still wants to build that tower. Right? We had the two towers in New York City, but yet they were destroyed. We're always wanting to build this big tower or these big cities. But they will all fail ultimately. Now, verse 3, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and what? Be their God. There again, parallel. What happened with the great whore in Babylon? They had their own gods. Everything was a duplicate. It was the false before the real. The third thing we are told here is that this will be a dwelling place of God. When we are reborn, the Apostle Paul has a scripture, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We see that the real reality is this city is going to come. It's a symbol. But he's also speaking about here. God wants to come and dwell here in our hearts. Verse 4, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, nor mourning, nor crying out, nor will there be any more pain, for the first things have passed away. Can you see that? You see why it's important that when we become born again, we're to let these old memories, this old way of thinking needs to pass away. We got to let it go. Paul said he would just forget those things and he was going to press on. Why? Why was he pressing on? It was because of the born again experience. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. It goes into verse 5. And sitting on the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Verse 6, and he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who thirsts, I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now here we see who gets this water of life. Who is it? To him who thirsts. So as a believer, what is the one requirement asked of you to get this water of life? That you be thirsty. Stay thirsty. Can you see that? You're always feeling a little drier. You're always thirsty. You're always, there's not but one thing in, to him who thirst. Now, Genesis 1 and 2 and Revelation 21, 22, I said this last week, but he says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. See, God was in a building program, Genesis 1, 2. He finishes up with Revelation 21 and 22. So God goes from chapter 2 of Genesis into 21, where he creates the new heavens and the new earth. But everything in the middle, he is getting mankind up to speed to walk into it. who will receive, and we see here, to him who thirsts. That is important. Verse 7, he who overcomes will inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. Verse 8, for the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars will have their part in the lake, excuse me, burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Excuse me. Now, here's the structure of that city. Speaking about this city, it comes down. It says it's a bride. Gives that analogy. It also, we know that the body of Christ is called the bride. And the structure of the city, all through this book, we find the blending of the literal and what? And the symbolic. It's always there. Now, keep that in mind, verse 9. One of the seven angels who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Verse 10, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the holy city of Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Here we see that that city, is it literally going to come down? The answer is, yes, it literally will do that. I'm looking for a cough drop here, if I can find one. I got one right there. Now, this city is to come down out of heaven. It will literally come down. He says, I carried me away into the spirit of a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven. Now, if you want to know, I'll back up here. And one of the seven angels had the seven last plagues, full of the seven last plagues, came to me and talked with me, saying, come here, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now, if you really want to know who the bride of Christ is, now we can all say we're part, but here it shows you. And he carried me away to the spirit to a great and high mountain, showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. So the holy Jerusalem, the great city, is called the bride of Christ. Can you see that? So that city, it inhabits those before the day of grace and the Old Testament, those that were under the law, everybody. Some people say, well, just the church is the bride of Christ, but it's not so. The bride of Christ includes the church, but it also includes everybody else that were God's children. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and its light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Verse 12, and it had a great and high wall with 12 gates. And at the gates were 12 angels, and having names inscribed, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel. Here we can see that it's always referred back to that of the people of God, the Jews, the nation Israel. All of this is being framed around the 12 tribes. Verse 13. There were three gates on the east and three on the north and three gates on the south and three gates on the west. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundational stones, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Do you remember Jesus told the 12 that they would be sitting on 12 thrones, ruling and reigning with him? This is what that is speaking of. Now, here we find the measurements of that great city. Now, keep this in mind. The number 12 is the number of government. So we see that everything's done in the government, the number 12, 12 apostles, and then this city is measured in 12s. Says this in Isaiah 9:6, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So we're going into that time that the government is totally upon his shoulders. Verse 15, the one who spoke with me had a gold measuring rod to measure the city and its gates and its wall. The city is laid out as a square, and its length is as great as its width, and He measures the city with a rod, 1,500 miles. Its length, width, height are equal. Pretty good size city. Then, verse 17, he measured its walls, 72 yards, according to human measurements, which are also angelic measurements. When I read that, I often wonder, how did man come up with measurements? Some of the great scientists claim that they were either visited by an angel or that they were in the dream, they got the revelation. And that was interesting to me. The next verses tell us the materials that the great city is made of. Watch this, verse 18. The material of the wall was jasper, and the city was gold, pure gold, like clear glass. The foundational stones of the city wall were adorned with every kind of precious stone. The first foundational stone was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, whatever how you say it, the fourth, emerald. Verse 20. The fifth, sardix, the sixth, sardis, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, Christophis, the 11th, the whatever, and the 12th, whatever. So you can see it's a lot of different colorful emeralds here. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each one of the gates was a, what, single pearl. That's just amazing to me. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. Now, the two symbolic cities of the Apocalypse or the Book of Revelation is the city of Babylon and Jerusalem. So, once we start seeing the Book of Revelation, it's about the second coming of Christ, we also start learning that it's speaking about two cities. One is Babylon and one is Jerusalem. Babylon is always, since the beginning, at the Tower of Babel. You see, when the Tower of Babel was built, God had created the earth to send His city to. Since man had fallen, then Satan himself was going to set up his city on earth. And he's still trying to do it. We read the scriptures a couple weeks ago how Satan comes to the nations. He's after them. When evil reaches its greatest density, it forms a whore city or Babylon. That city is then totally destroyed. When God's love reaches its highest density, a bride city is formed. So we have the good versus evil. Now we have the true temple in verse 22. I saw no temple in it. For the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple. And the city has no end of the sun or of the moon. It has no need of the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God has illuminated it. And its lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. In the daytime, for there will be no night, its gates will never be closed. All this is self-explanatory. And they will bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, if you turn to Isaiah, just let me tell you about it. In Isaiah chapter 66, if you turn there in Isaiah and read it this week, you will see the last part of like the book of Revelation taking place, and Jesus will be ruling and reigning, and there we will find that hell will open up, it says. And so as we get into this other chapter, you'll see where hell is opened up in the earth and judgment will take place. Now this is... I think I started over. Is anybody upstairs there? I don't think so. Karen, would you mind... she was supposed to put 22 after 21 and she's got 21 twice, I think. Yep. 21 is twice. All right, look at it in chapter, let's go to Revelation chapter 22. And it's pretty much self-explanatory in these last chapters. In verse 1, it says, "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river was there the tree of life." Now, do you see that? You've got the tree of life. Now, if you remember in the beginning, there was two trees in the garden. One was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The other one was the tree of life. God said, just don't partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, write this in your Bibles if you like to write in your Bibles. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a competitive tree. It's competitiveness. The tree of knowledge of good and evil that it speaks about in Genesis is the tree of knowledge of good and evil is competition. It's competitive. In other words, one person has to, somebody has to lose in competition for one to win. Are you with me? So, argument and debate always comes out of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's always a debate. I'm right, you're wrong. No, you're right, he's wrong. Or any competition in all of our sports, somebody has to lose so somebody can win. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let's see what we have here. There we go. There's 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. We covered that one. In the midst of the street was a tree of life. Now, the tree of life is not a competitive tree. It's a creative tree. So, when you are operating and your city is operating, excuse me, at a competition, you're probably partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you are creative, then we are probably, when we walk with God, everybody wins. Nobody has to lose for somebody else to win when we're walking with God. Verse 3, "And every curse will no longer be, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it. And His servants," it says, "will serve Him." Self-explanatory. Verse 4, "And they will see His face, and His name will be in their foreheads." Verse 5, "And there will be no night there, and they need no lamp or light for the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will be there forever and forever." Now, this is the epilogue, or the ending of this book of Revelation. Now, with the ending comes what I call a blessed assurance. You remember that song? Blessed assurance. How's it go? Jesus is mine. Or what a foretaste of glory divine. This is the end of the book of Revelation, is blessed assurance. And he said to me, "These sayings are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly be done." Verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he." Just remember, blessed assurance. "Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel showing me these things." For surely John would. He saw all of this. He wrote it down. Book of Revelation. He fell down at the angel, started worshiping the angel. Angel didn't like that too much in verse 9. And he said to me, "Behold, see, do not do it." In other words, angel said, "Do not worship me. For I am your fellow servant and your brothers the prophets and of those who keep the words of this book. Do worship God." Then there's another word from the same angel. "And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book. for the time is at hand. Now, it was amazing to me that God told Daniel, when you compare Daniel with the book of Revelation, he told him to seal up those words. There would be another time coming. Here, we see that these words are revealed, and he said, do not seal this book. Don't seal it. He acted unjustly. Let him still be act unjustly. And the filthy, let him be filthy still. The righteous, let him be righteous still. And the holy, let him be holy still. In verse 12, and behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to each according to his work. Now, do you remember, I showed you in the beginning of this teaching that there's four different second comings. You had the trumpets and the vials and the plagues, and we showed how at the end of each one of those, it was speaking about the second coming of Christ. You can understand in here in chapter 22, he speaks only about his second coming, the coming of Christ. And he ends up here in verse 12, behold, I am coming quickly, my reward is with me, to give to each according as his work is. I've heard some people say that, well, I don't believe the book of Revelation is fulfilled. I said, well, I'm for that, but where is Jesus? Where is his literal coming? He said, well, he's coming to your heart. I said, yeah, I understand the symbolism of that. Yes, he's in my heart, but he is to literally come also. The cross of Jesus is a symbol. You can wear it around your neck. But just because you have that symbol, does that mean he didn't really come? Of course not. He really came. He hung on the cross. If you wear a cross around your neck, that's not the one he died on. It's just a symbol of what took place. Same way with symbols. They're really going to happen. Now, does it have a deeper spiritual meaning to humanity? Of course it does, yes. But just because it has that dimensional spiritual meaning does not mean that the literal meaning did not happen or is not going to happen. Understanding that the book, the Bible, is a revelatory book full of symbols. And a lot of times people want to pass it off as that's just symbolic. It did not really happen and it will not really happen. I submit to you that it's all true. Every bit of it's true. Then he goes on to say, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they, blessed assurance, blessed are they who do his commandments so that they may have the right to the tree of what? Tree of life. And they may enter in by the gates into the city. But outside are dogs and sorcerers, fornicators and the murderers and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and makes a lie. Verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify these things to you over the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one hearing say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And he willingly let him take of the water of life freely. Now, if you want to know what is to be the message of the church or the message of believers right before the second coming of Christ, here it is. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let the one hearing say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And he willingly let him take of the water of life freely. If we want to be in the anointing of this day and of this hour, that is our message to the world. Is just come. Just come. If you're a believer and you're thirsty, come. Our message. And so, therefore, for this church not to grow, to me, is not an option. It's not optional. This time next year, we should have doubled if we believe this. The anointing is there. You can say, well, Alan, I just want to look after me and mine. Well, you're just not being obedient. You're not keeping the words of this book. We're challenged to keep the words of this book. Verse 18, and I testify together with everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add on him the plagues that have been written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of this book, of this prophecy. God will take away his part out of the book of life, out of the holy city, and from the things which have been written in this book. Verse 20 says, he who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming quickly. Amen. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. Last verse, and I leave this verse with you in this book of Revelation. John left it with you, and I leave it with you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen. There you have it, the conclusion of the book of Revelation. Amen.